Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Topping state news, a more than century-old building that was being renovated in downtown Des Moines has been destroyed by an early morning fire. Des Moines Fire Department spokesman Brian O'Keefe said it first got word of a fire at the former Yonkers Department Store building at around 12:50 a.m. and found flames leaping from the upper floors of the building. He said about an hour later, the 6th, 7th, and 8th floors had collapsed. KCCI reports debris from the upper stories collapsed onto the skywalk leading east from the Yonkers building. There were no injuries reported. O'Keefe said the hub tower and other buildings have been damaged by the fire. Authorities have closed some nearby streets and skywalks. The building closed in 2005, but it was being turned into apartments and retail space. Efforts are underway to send 150 Southwest Iowa veterans to Washington, D.C. as part of a Freedom Flight, being paid for in full by two successful businessmen from Ames who are former Atlantic residents. The Freedom Flight enables veterans to tour the National War Memorials, and the event is open to any veteran, not just World War II or Korean War vets, as is the case with the Honor Flights. Steve Lavengood, retired military veteran and former Atlantic City councilman, was selected by Ames residents Roger Underwood and Jeff Becker to take charge of the event.
So we need about 150 veterans. Roger said the priority was supposed to be for Atlantic/Cass County. If we can't get enough of them, then we'll start going out to the adjoining counties. With the veterans, we're also going to need some guardians. Special skills on the guardians are a plus. They need to help these folks around, and some of them need more help than others, but that's fine. We're going to need about 12 of those, we think.
Lavengood said he wants prospective veterans or those interested in being a guardian or serving on a committee to contact him at 243-5445. Another aspect of the Freedom Flight is a committee to help organize the event, and both veterans for the trip and committee members are needed to help make it possible.
The word's already getting out, and they're doing exactly like I asked them to do, which was to call me up and say, put me on the list. And so that's what I'm doing. I'm calling them up and putting them on the list. I have five veterans that have already called, so no, we're not full by a long shot yet. I have about three guardians and about three folks that want to be on the committee.
The committee members will be tasked with making sure many different aspects of the trip are successful.
It's really not just find some guys and load them up on an airplane and take them out there. There is transportation. We've got to figure out how to get the group together, how to get them through an airport, how to get them on the plane, how to get them off the plane, how to do the tours on all these monuments and whatnot. I'd really like to see a departure dinner. It's a one-day thing. This plane goes wheels up at like 4 a.m., so that's an overnight lodging. That's probably a dinner the day before. There's a lot of subcomponents to this, get an airplane and fly a bunch of guys to Washington.
He says there's an application form for both veterans and guardians that must be filled out after those persons call to have their name put on the list for the trip. Underwood and Becker will charter a Boeing 737 to fly the 150 military veterans and the guardians, and Lavengood said that's certainly not cheap.
We're talking $95,000 to $100,000 that this thing costs. And I confirmed this with Roger a couple times. I said, look, I'm going to go up to the media, and you really want me to say free? And he said, yes, free. It won't cost anything. And I think it's fascinating that everybody that has already done one or has been involved in one said, well, hey, you know, the big part is raising the funds. I said, not with me. That part's already done.
The date for the Freedom Flight has not yet been selected. That information will be released later on, but it will be announced with plenty of advance notice so as to try and avoid schedule conflicts for both veterans and guardians. Lavengood says for now, the focus is on getting interested veterans to apply for the trip. Well, a public hearing will be held Monday morning in Atlantic with regard to the amended fiscal year 2014 Cass County budget. The hearing takes place during a regularly scheduled session of the Cass County Board of Supervisors and will be followed by action on adopting an amendment to the fiscal year 2014 budget and the FY 2014 Iowa Department of Transportation secondary roads budget, along with appropriate expenditures. In other business, the board will act on a resolution abating the taxes on a mobile home, where it is impractical to collect such taxes, and they're also expected to act on the appointment of a person to fill a vacancy on the Messina Township Board of Trustees and on the vacating and closure of a portion of a secondary road's right-of-way, that which is in an unused portion of Road Number 1 of 1898 lying in Sections 2 and 3 of Benton Township. The Cass County Board of Supervisors meeting gets underway at 8:30 a.m. Monday. Members of the CAM School District's Board of Education will hold a special meeting Monday evening in the CAM High School Media Center. And during that 6:30 p.m. session, the board will act on a resignation and discuss sharing a superintendent prior to entering into an exempt session for negotiations. The manager of Sioux City says his reorganization and consolidation plan will save that city nearly $191,000 in fiscal year 2015. City manager Bob Padmore is distributing his former duties as assistant manager to current department heads. The two positions will be eliminated as well. The council has already approved of his plan. Padmore described the plan as a, quote, streamlining of city organizations and realigning of some of the departments to match the skills and expertise that our employees have. The Iowa Department of Natural Resources on Friday released their latest precipitation information and drought report. Officials say the past 2 weeks have been unusually dry across most of Iowa. The statewide average precipitation was 19 one-hundredths of an inch, while normal for the period is just over 1 inch. Salem and Henry County, which is in southeast Iowa, was one exception, receiving over an inch during that period. Precipitation in Cass and surrounding counties was 10% low, or below normal, that is, for the period covering March the 12th through the 26th. About 7% of the state remains in a severe drought, while about half the state is rated as a moderate drought, including most of western and southern Iowa, with the exception of Adair, Guthrie, and portions of Dallas counties. Those were abnormally dry. And this is reflected in the drop of average stream flow in Iowa. Recent rains are reflected in the stream flow index upturn for the past few days. South of Interstate 80, the ice is almost completely gone from rivers. Iowa DNR fisheries biologists continue to monitor oxygen levels in many waters and have seen some slight improvements in some places. Considerable areas of ice remain in northern Iowa, though. To get a more thorough review of Iowa's water resource trends from March the 12th through the 26th, you can go to the DNR's website, to the link for which is under this same story on our webpage under the News tab at KJAN.com. A new report ranks the overall health of all Iowa's 99 counties. The study used some 30 factors to compile the rankings, things like childhood poverty, smoking, college attendance, physical activity, and access to physicians. Julie Williams-Van Dyke, deputy director of the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, says Sioux City in far northeast Iowa ranked as the state's healthiest county.
They have a very low rate of premature death in that county. So people are living longer lives. They're living well into their 70s and 80s for the most part.
She says Sioux County also ranked high in categories that surveyed social and economic factors, clinical care, and the physical environment.
The other thing that influences good health in Sioux County is people are living good lives. There's a smaller percentage of people who report they're in poor or fair health. You're having healthy babies in that community, a fairly low rate of low birth weight babies. So that's really encouraging.
And the study found that Appanoose County in southeast Iowa on the Missouri border was the least healthy Iowa county.
They have more people dying earlier. They have more people reporting they are in poor health. They have more babies who are being born earlier and of a lower birth weight. Appanoose County also ranks 98th out of 99 counties in those health factors, and so has real opportunity to improve in things like smoking and healthy eating and active living.
While Sioux County ranks as Iowa's healthiest county, the rest of the top five are Winnesheek, Chickasaw, Lyon, and Mitchell at number five. On the other end of the rating scale, the bottom five are Montgomery, Wayne, Mills, Adams, and Appanoose at 99th.
The county health rankings are not meant to shame a county that's ranking at the lower end of the scale, but really to serve as a call to action and to say, what can we do to move these health factors forward and improve on these areas so that our residents of our community can live longer, healthier lives.
The rankings come from Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, the nation's largest health-focused philanthropy. This is the fifth year of the rankings, and they're published online at www.countyhealthrankings.org. Well, finally, in state news, as Iowa's population ages, lawmakers are determining the best policies to protect the state's elderly population from financial exploitation and other abuses. U.S. Census data ranks Iowa 9th in the nation in the percentage of population age 65 or older, and Iowa ranks 4th for residents age 85 or older. And given that, lawmakers are considering legislation intended to better protect older Iowans and the future elder population. The state Senate and House have approved different versions of a bill intended to toughen penalties for financially exploiting elderly people and to establish better protections for vulnerable adults. Representative Chick Baltimore, a Republican from Boone, says protecting Iowans who are most vulnerable is a priority. He says the House-backed bill is a positive step toward protecting Iowans who can't protect themselves. That is a check of the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.